About 2 weeks ago, Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others were killed in that helicopter crash in California, which was a real tragedy. And, you know, I'm not an NBA fan by any means. Of course, I certainly knew who he was. It was kind of ironic, I guess. But the night before he was killed, he went from number three to number four in the highest scorer in NBA history. I mean, obviously, that had nothing to do with it, but it just seemed kind of ironic to me, I guess. But let me share something from a friend of mine that she had on Facebook. She says, "My thought for tonight, I was shocked and saddened to hear about Kobe Bryant, and more so for his daughter. So many players were lifted up in our, so many prayers, excuse me, were lifted up in our home tonight for the family, and I appreciate all the love and posts regarding his tragic loss. However, there is a lack of outcry for our fallen soldiers, police officials, and firefighters, not to mention our homeless and in-need children. Here's my thought. Just shows that if we are popular and famous, your life mattered to the world. Newsflash. Everyone matters to God, and everyone deserves the same tribute." How true that is, that these other seven people, for the most part, were just kind of nameless people to the world because they weren't an NBA, NFL star, or a movie star, or a singer, or whatever. But it's certainly no less of a tragedy in their loss. And as she said, you know, we don't make hardly even mention of police officers that get killed in the line of duty and our military that dies in active duty someplace, that they just, you know, might mention, you know, two soldiers were killed or whatever it might be. And just life goes on and no big deal. But no, it certainly is a big deal because every life does matter to the Lord. Not one any more than another. So it should be the same with us. But let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks for the life that you do give us. And Lord, as it tells us in Psalm 139, we don't know the length of our days, but you do. Before we were even born, the length of our days is written down in your book. And so, Lord, you knew that Kobe Bryant, his daughter, this other young teenage girl, that their lives were going to come to an end at that day. Before they ever took a breath. And Lord, we can kind of shake our fist at you and blame you. You know, why did that have to happen? But, you know, life here on earth is just a temporary, very temporary thing. And so we just need to be prepared for our eternity, which is so much more important. And we put so much more emphasis on the life that we live here on earth when it's really not important at all outside of what we do for you. So Father, help us to maybe get our priorities straight in some ways and realize that we need to care as much for a homeless soldier at the intersection looking for food as we do a NBA star. So, Lord, just be with us as we look at your word and Lord, see some of the truth that we've missed and that we need to make a part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to start from time to time looking at things that should be just common sense for believers. What I think is common sense scripturally, I'm not sure if scripturally is a word or not, and it didn't make it through my spell check anyways, unless I spelled it wrong. But the first thing I want to look at is the Sabbath. So let's start with when the Sabbath was given to us. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, it was the fourth commandment. And you may have noticed that the number of verses that God used to describe this, you know, a lot of the other commandments are just one verse, two at the most, but, you know, this is four verses that he used to describe the Sabbath day. So maybe he thought it was really important, or maybe he thought we needed a lot of clarification. But in the NIV, it goes like this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now let me give it to you from the Message. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Don't do any work. Not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals, not even the foreign guest visiting your town. For in 6 days God made heaven, earth, and the sea, and everything in them. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day. He set it apart as a holy day. So I thought, well, let me look at what the dictionary says about the Sabbath. It says the seventh day of the week observed from Friday evening to Saturday evening as a day of rest and worship by Jews and some Christians. Sunday, observed among Christians as a day of rest and worship, or a time of rest. Well, Sabbath was right in the mind, or in the words anyways, of Merriam-Webster, observed among Christians. In other words, some Christians observe the Sabbath and some Christians do not. Now, some of you may remember growing up in a family that it was very strict about this. I mean, on Sunday, you got up, you got in your Sunday best, you went to Sunday school, and then you went to church, and then you had dinner, and you would sit and maybe read, or, you know, just have conversation with your family, something that doesn't happen as much as it needs to. And then you would go to church in the evening. Some may have had a youth group in the afternoon before church that evening. Now, trust me, I'm not saying that that's wrong. And I didn't grow up in church. And I couldn't figure out why some friends couldn't do anything on Sunday. You know, I mean, what was the big deal? You know, I remember working for a man that he had a nursery and, you know, like landscaping type stuff and all. And, you know, 7 days a week. And there was another business that, you know, he was closed on Sunday. And I just could not figure that out. I mean, you know, how stupid is that? Because I knew how busy, you know, the person I worked for was on Sunday. And so, you know, I thought, you know, this guy is missing all this business that he could be getting on Sunday by being closed. It just seemed really stupid to me. And, you know, we've found out since that I was the one that was really stupid. But, I mean, our Sabbath looks more like this. You know, no work. You know, we don't mow the lawn on Sunday. We don't wash the car, don't weed the garden, don't do laundry. You know, for many years, I had to work on Sunday because I was a corrections officer, and so sometimes my shift, you know, was on Sunday, and that's just the way it was. As a pastor, that was the only day that I worked, according to some people. You know, I remember a fellow pastor telling me that, you know, one of the first churches that he went to, that, you know, somebody said, well, you know, you only work on Sundays. And so he said, well, you know, I'm to be given 30 days a year vacation. He said, so I'm going to take the next 30 Sundays off. It's kind of the end of that conversation. But I think anybody that has to work on Sunday, you need to find another day to be your Sabbath day. But I usually took Monday as my Sabbath. I know a lot of pastors that would do that, take Monday off. And I would try to hide on my Sabbath. You know, I would try to not answer the phone, let the phone answer itself. And I, you know, would not schedule any appointments. Unfortunately, a lot of the churches that we're at, Monday night was, you know, when they had a lot of their meetings. But things would happen. You know, there would be a funeral, and that's when the family wanted to have the funeral. You know, somebody goes into the hospital, you don't say, well, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I'll be there tomorrow, but I'm not going to be there today. You know, things happen. And so often my Sabbath would get lost in the shuffle. Doing better observing Sunday as a Sabbath day, you know, since I've been retired. But we see the word holy two times in the passage. In the Hebrew, that is kodesh, which means to purify, to consecrate, to dedicate, or to sanctify. God made the Sabbath kodesh. He set it apart. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was worn out, because he was just so tired from creating. Genesis 1:3 says, God said, let there be light. Verse 6, let there be space. Verse 9, let the waters. Verse 11, let the land sprout. Verse 14, God said, let the lights appear. Verse 20, God said, let the waters swarm. Verse 20, God said, let the earth produce. And God said in verse 26, let us make humans. So it was all God said. There wasn't a lot of physical labor involved. You know, he said, let these things happen. And they did. But people like pastors and teachers spend a lot of time talking, and they work at it, and they need a Sabbath rest as well. But no matter what your occupation, you need a Sabbath rest. And so God built that into his plan. He set the days to be as long as they are, the seasons to come and go as they do. And God did not make the Sabbath rest, or excuse me, the Sabbath day, because he thought we needed a physical rest, but we needed a rest from everything except him. And that rest is not just for believers. It says, you know, you and your family, your servants, your guests, anyone and everyone is to have a Sabbath. And we can see how important it is to God, because he even included females to not do work. It says your daughters, your maids, your female servants are to rest as well. So the word Sabbath does not come from the Hebrew word for seventh. That's what a lot of people think. Excuse me. The word Shabbat means intermission. I haven't been to a movie in a long time that had an intermission. Some of the old Disney movies, or the movie Ben-Hur, if you remember that, it's 3.5 hours long, and they had a intermission about 2 hours in. But the root word to Shabbat is Shabbat, which means to rest or to cease or to repose, to cease what you're doing and for a time to do nothing, to rest. So listen to the Lord's words in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken." Okay, he says, speak of it with delight. Hebrew for delight is oneg, which means that it's a luxury or delight or it's pleasant. So that's how we are to think of the Sabbath. You know, and we should, in the world that we're in, you know, where everything is so fast-paced and, you know, do it now and do it yesterday, you know, to be able to delight in a day that is set apart where, you know, we're away from that rat race. So the Lord was speaking too, because any intermission is a delight. Okay, and for the people that who the Lord was speaking to, just the lives that they had, the lives they lived, the way that they had to work for, you know, what they had, you know, their homes and their food and all to have what they had to really work hard. And so I would think that they would delight in the Sabbath. So some things we need to remember about the Sabbath. One is it's for our own good. We need rest. We need intermission from life. Unfortunately, you know, for most people, you know, you work Monday through Friday at your job, and, you know, it really is, you know, taxing on you, maybe physically, maybe mentally, you know, whatever it might be. But then on the weekend, you know, you're working at home, you know, you're taking care of the house, taking care of the outside of your home, and doing all the things you didn't have time to do all week long. And so you don't really take an intermission. You take an intermission from what you'd normally do Monday through Friday, but, you know, then you have Saturday and Sunday that you have your own rat race that you're involved in. But we need to remember that the Sabbath is an act of obedience. You know, God wasn't fooling when he made it a commandment. It wasn't, hey, once in a while, you know, you should probably knock off work for a day or so. And it wasn't, if I need to rest at the end of the week, you probably do too. No, it was a commandment. It wasn't left out of the commandments and then added on as an epilogue at the end or an appendix. If God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, that's exactly what he means. You know, not a suggestion, not, no, if you get around to it, not just during certain times of the year, not if, you know, you have nothing better to do, not if, you know, on Saturday, you know, you got all your work caught up and all, and so, you know, you can knock off on Sunday. No. But I don't care what your family and friends say. You need to take the Sabbath. That's what God says. If your job requires you to work on the Sabbath day, you take another day. That's what God says. God is saying, I set the example, and I expect every believer to follow it. End of discussion. So you might wonder, you know, well, am I going to go to hell if I don't keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, I don't believe that you will, but I do believe that God will say, why? Why did you choose to ignore that commandment of mine? And didn't I make it plain enough to you what I expected to happen on that day? You know, I mean, was there some question there in what I said? I don't really think so. So many think that the Sabbath was first mentioned in Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments. Actually, it was a few chapters earlier in chapter 16 of Exodus, verses 23 to 26. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left tomorrow. Or for tomorrow, excuse me. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Pretty good instructions. You know, I think he laid it out, you know, word for word. Pretty understandable. You know, to me, it was pretty reasonable, you know, what was said. But listen to verses 27 to 30. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gave you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. So I guess we're not the first ones to not understand what God expects, or the first ones to think that we can do whatever we want when we want to. I have to wonder, if there had been manna on the seventh day, how many would have gone out to pick it up? Even though God said, don't. You know, he just puts them out there. I'm just going to test them. I'm going to put some manna out there today just to see how many go out and pick it up. You know, it's just like us. Hey, the stores are open. Why shouldn't we shop? You know, the sun is shining. Why shouldn't I mow the lawn? Why shouldn't I wash the car? Why shouldn't I work on my shed out back? You know, why shouldn't I bale the hay? You know, why shouldn't I do what I want to do? Brings us to a question that you may be wondering about. What about Jesus and the Sabbath? Jesus got into some discussions with the Pharisees about the subject. He healed on the Sabbath. He walked much too far on the Sabbath. He ate what he shouldn't be eating on the Sabbath. You know, I mean, he was just a real rebel rouser. I like the exchange in Mark 2, verses 23 to 28. In the New Living Translation, it says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Now, I'm going to stop here for just a bit. Harvesting grain? I mean, they were picking off the heads of grain and eating them. You know, I mean, it's not like they were out in the field with a threshing machine, okay, or with a scythe trying to harvest the field. No. But the Pharisees, to them, their law had been broken. What they had added to the law had been broken. So let me continue in verse 25. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days of Abinadab, that he was the high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that were only for the priests to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath.'" What did Jesus mean by "the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people"? Like I said earlier, God didn't rest on the Sabbath because he was tired. And we're not God, but we need a rest. We need an intermission. That's why God set it up, to give us that time and to make sure that we had time, or a specific time, dedicated to him. But that last verse is very true. "So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Okay? The Son of Man is Lord over all. So, of course, there's some things that need to be done on the Sabbath. Okay? Doctors, nurses, aides, cleaning people need to be working in hospitals. You know, they can't on Saturday say to the patients in their hospital, you know, "Take care, we'll see you on Monday. You know, hopefully nothing goes wrong. You know, if your machine starts beeping, you know, we'll turn it off when we come in on Monday. Don't worry about it." Police, EMT, firefighters, corrections officers need to work on the Sabbath. You know, I know from personal experience, cows, you know, they give milk on the Sabbath. You know, they got to be milked. Nothing can be done about that. And other animals need to be taken care of as well. So there are many things that are done now on the Sabbath that didn't used to be. Stores are open on the Sabbath, on Sundays. You know, Sunday is one of the biggest retail days out there. You know, if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, places like that, you know, especially in the spring, you know, when things are starting to take root and all, you know, are busy places. Restaurants, you know, most restaurants are open on Sunday. Not Chick-fil-A, not Chicken Salad Chick, and a few other places, but most are. School activities and practices, you know, never would have happened when I was in school. But now, you know, a lot of schools, when our kids were, you know, our older boys were, you know, 10, 12, 14 years old, they wanted to wrestle. The youth wrestling program that they had Sunday mornings, so they never wrestled. The bars are open. I remember growing up, we lived near the Pennsylvania border in western New York, and the bars in Pennsylvania were closed on Sunday. New York, the bars opened at, I think it was 1 o'clock on Sunday. So you had a lot of people from Pennsylvania coming over to New York to drink because they couldn't do it in Pennsylvania. you know, many other things that don't need to be done on the Sabbath. Travel. Excuse me. I realize some people need to travel on Sunday for their jobs, that they have to get someplace on Sunday, so they'll be there first thing Monday morning. I understand that. Sports are played wherever. Like I said, shopping, eating out, you know, you know, we can wait till Monday to buy what we need. But sometimes we don't think we can. But like anything, the choice is ours to make, right or wrong. Do I feel the Lord will ask us why? Yeah, I do. And not just about the Sabbath, but about many other things in our lives, many other commandments that we didn't follow very well. But we will stand before him and have to answer. So, Father, I lift up my fellow believers that, you know, maybe don't see the Sabbath as I do, and that's okay, but they need to see the Sabbath as you do, and that's what's important. So, Father, help us to come closer to what you want us to do, to live our lives in the way you want us to live them, and to put you first 7 days a week, not just on a Sunday for an hour, but Lord, to put you first all the time, every day. And Lord, we can make all kinds of excuses, but Lord, none of them are going to be good enough for you. So Father, help us to realize how we need to live our lives for you. And Lord, I lift up anyone that may be listening to this that, you know, is thinking, you know, what's the Sabbath day all about? You know, I don't understand why we should have to do that. Well, and Lord, if they don't know you, they have no understanding of a lot of things about you. But this may be one of the big things that they really don't understand. So, Father, help them, first of all, to know that they need to come to you, that that's the most important thing that they need to do in their lives, is to have you as the center of their lives. And then not only the Sabbath, but a lot of other things will begin to make more sense to them. So let them know that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth to die for their sins. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's the way it is, that we need to have the faith to believe that, that Jesus went to the cross for the sins of everyone else because he had no sin himself. And more importantly, that he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. And he tells us we need to be ready because once he is here, it will be too late. So, Father, help us to begin that relationship if we haven't already and know that it's the most important relationship that we'll ever have in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.